All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, and we got a lot of time to do it. We're with you until 7:45 before we kick it over to our broadcast of Monday Night Football pregame starting right then. Dallas is at Arizona tonight, but in the meantime, lots of football to talk about. Another full weekend of the NFL and college football in the books, and both the Hoosiers and Colts victorious. You heard the Colts here on these airwaves on Sunday, held on to the very bitter end, but got the W, and that is what matters in the NFL. And for the Hoosiers, it wasn't exactly noteworthy, it wasn't exactly exciting, but it was a victory, and that is, again, the important part of that game against Georgia Southern, is getting out with the victory and moving on down the line. And down the line is a very good Penn State team. But before we get anywhere near that, we'll look back on Saturday for the Hoosiers. Georgia Southern came to town. And Glass, looking at the schedule ahead of time, you always knew Georgia Southern was going to show you a look on especially the offensive side of the ball that you just aren't going to see in most places. Most teams don't run this triple option or anything resembling this kind of triple option. There are option attacks that are out there, but they're almost all read options nowadays, so they just look completely different. But this particular attack is completely different. Not sure why they picked it as something they wanted to put on this schedule. But they did. So you got to go in and go into that game, I suppose, judiciously. And that's what Tom Allen did. He picked a few players and said, you know, you guys are a little nicked up. Probably not going to need you. Rashard Fant, we don't want you to get hurt tackling some guy out on the corner this weekend. And maybe somebody else stepped up and had to do that. And that's always the risk with the triple option, with them cutting you as much as they do, is you're going to end up with some injuries. And they come out of it nicked up with some injuries also. So some guys we're not sure are going to play this weekend when it's all said and done. But I guess they got the victory and maybe play a little bit of a price for it.
Yeah, I think any week you can get hurt. I don't think it matters necessarily on what it was. You can go back through the guys that got hurt in that, and most of them got twisted under piles, it looked like, for the most part. It wasn't anything that was, based on that offense. I think A'shaun Riggins went into a tackle and just threw his neck and shoulder into there. And, I mean, that's just making a tackle out on the perimeter. That's going to happen no matter who you play. Marcelino Ball gets tangled up in there. The list is too long. I've got it all written down here. I had to use a couple different pages on it.
It's some important guys, though. That's the problem.
It is. And
Marcelino Ball, Richard Lego got bent over, although he could have probably not gone
even,
back in.
Not even a mention of Lego in today's press conference, so that should tell you everything you need to know there. But what I thought Indiana did really well with this was they were fortunate to have the break when they had it, because it gave them extra time to prepare for this interesting, to say the least, offense. But what Indiana did was they came out and imposed their will on Georgia Southern. We knew Georgia Southern was I think they had the worst yards per play.
They're not a good football team.
In football. Right. But what Indiana did with a not very good football team was did what Indiana wanted to do on the day and took care of business. And it even into the second half, the first two drives, score two touchdowns, give Georgia Southern absolutely no momentum. Georgia Southern did score late in that first half, but Indiana came right out and took care of business. Tom Allen was pleased about the focus of starting it, doing it, and finishing it, and I think that's something that immature teams maybe don't do. You see perhaps DeShone Kizer come back in the second half when the team should pin their ears back and score a bunch of points. Well, that didn't happen with Indiana. And but I thought Coach's comments today were very measured in a good way, saying, hey, look, we knew that this game should be in our favor, but we had to still go out there and play it. We still had to go out there and execute. He talked about jumping around on the sideline the whole game, making sure everybody was tuned into each play, regardless of the score. And that's what you have to do in your first year as head coach. You can't set the tone by sitting back, relaxing, yucking it up with the other assistants are doing that. So you want to call it unnecessary? You want to call it what? No, he's setting a tone. He's creating a culture that he's hoping develops and continues into other games. And the other part that really jumped off the page to me of his comments today was, obviously, everybody's very high on Morgan Ellison's performance. And Coach Allen said, we saw this. We saw this in camp. We saw it without pads.
Right.
We saw it with just helmets.
It's like Marcelino Ball last year.
We saw it with
– I mean, you see the guy come in. You know how good he prepares.
We saw it against our number one defense. Yeah. But you never know until you turn the lights on and let a guy loose and let a guy go. You saw some of that, obviously, against Virginia in that big drive they had, even though they didn't score running through it. But what Tom Allen said after, I thought should resonate with fans. Now let's see him do it against a Big Ten defense.
Right.
And to keep that on the level is exciting to hear because that's how it should be kept. He said, you know what, this kid's getting interviewed by the Big Ten after the games, getting interviewed by us after the game. How he reacts to all that, what we've taught here, speaking for Tom Allen, paraphrasing, is no one's bigger than us. So the next step will be how he reacts to all that, and they think he's got a good head on his shoulders. So the two interesting things you saw is an Indiana team who in past years, 21-16 Eastern Kentucky, we can bring up the games that took care of business against a team.
A year or two ago, Southern Illinois, they had to knock down a two-point conversion. I wrote a blog post on this, NovakOnSports.com, a couple weeks ago after the Virginia game, and it seemed... I thought too many people missed the fact that the way that the Hoosiers reacted late in that Virginia game when they got the supposedly unfair targeting call against Greg Gooch that brought back a clinching touchdown that could have turned immediately into a Virginia touchdown.
It was going to be 34-10.
Exactly. I mean, it would have been over at that point. It turned into a Virginia touchdown and took the points off the board for the Hoosiers. I thought how they reacted to that was an important statement on what Tom Allen has got these kids believing in and the attitude of the kids. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go out and win the Big 10 out of it. But I think it's important, and you pointed it out earlier, on how the kids view every game and taking care of business when it's time to take care of business.
Quarter.
Exactly right. And so, the Georgia Southern game isn't going to tell you a hell of a lot about this team, you know, in the Big 10, but it does, as you mentioned, tell you how they came into the game, how they took care of business early in the game, how they didn't just go through the motions and kind of half show up like maybe Miami did against Toledo or, you know, one of those sorts of things where somebody gets upset on their home field because they're not paying enough attention to the opposition. No, they came out and punched him in the mouth and punched him in the mouth about 17 different times until it was 31-0 and just took care of it and just took that right out, all the wind out of their sail right off the bat. And that's what you got to do, especially if you're a team that doesn't have a huge margin of error like maybe an Ohio State or Michigan. Ohio State can jerk around with Army for three quarters if they want to. Indiana gets beaten those kind of games in the past. So don't jerk around. Get taken care of early. And they've done it the last two times out.
And the interesting way they did it as well was a steady diet of running the football. This was not a pass happy, throw it 95 time type deal and just take advantage of
wearing a
team down.
Didn't just use their Simi Cobbs,
no.
Donovan Hale.
And they had a little switch on the offensive line as well, as Simon Stepniak did not play. Mackenzie Wara started for him. They were really impressed with what they saw from him. And I think when you look back at all this, Ellison needs help from his line. Yeah, we got it. No problem. The quarterbacks need time to throw the ball. Didn't throw a ton of it. Didn't have to throw, especially in the second half. Didn't throw it. Have to throw it at all.
Right.
But I think the one thing that jumps out for Ellison, just from a running back's perspective, is he had 186 yards, fourth most all time for a freshman. Great. He had no losses on the day.
Yeah.
Everything he does moves forward. And Coach Allen brought this up today in the press conference. He says his yards after contact is immense.
Yeah.
They even saw it against a couple carries against Ohio State against big physical guys. He's always moving forward. He's always getting hit and going in the positive direction. So if those holes and creases aren't there, he's big enough, strong enough, physical enough to move the pile, and at least against Georgia Southern, at least against Virginia, get some yards. But he had tough yards against Virginia, which you saw what they did to Boise State.
Yeah.
In Boise, not an easy place to play at all.
I think a lot of people vastly underrated Virginia. Again, they're not an ACC champion, but they're a physical team.
And
they've
Indiana
got some athletes,
get some credit for
especially
doing what they did.
Especially on defense. They've got some athletes out wide, and the quarterback's not half bad. So that particular win obviously looks a lot better today.
And you have to remember, Ellison came out of the game twice.
Yeah.
I don't know if his bell was rung. I don't know if he just somebody landed on him, stepped on him, whatever those cases are. But he came back the next time and ran just as hard. It didn't look like, hey, we'll just put you back in, see how you feel. You put him back in, and boom, boom, boom. And as Tom Allen mentioned, and as I'm going to mention, and as fans are going to mention, do it against a Big Ten-style defense.
Right.
Well, Virginia, let's not dismiss that.
No, that was a good defense.
But again,
and it was a defense showing you looks that weren't on tape because they had played nobody in the first game.
But running hard, running smart, he has a burst, he has a pop, he has a jump, he has a cut. He's got some tools there that they were excited to see that translate from the practice field to running against Indiana's first team defense, who everybody thinks pretty highly of, and now doing it in game situations, because there's some guys, Dave, your dad will tell you this, and coaches will tell you this, some guys in practice beat everybody. And when you turn the light on, they freeze up, and they don't hit the hole, and they don't trust their instincts, and they don't trust their training. So to have a freshman do that, I think that's something you take out of it, and I think also you give the line credit for making holes, plenty of running room. That's something that Indiana wanted to focus on in this game, was getting that running attack going, and they did. So I think from an opponent standpoint, you knew Georgia Southern was going to struggle after you watched the first three or four series. Mm-hmm. But Indiana didn't fool around with them. Indiana did what they needed to do. They scored in all three phases of the game. We'll talk about Jayshon Harris and Andre Brown as time goes on as well. But I think it was a very steady – you know what it was to me? It was a mature performance. Mm-hmm. It was – we're going to hand the ball off, and we're going to run. And then we're going to hand it off again and run.
Right.
And if it dictates a pass, we're going to throw a pass. But you didn't see shots down the field or bad decisions or anything else. It just seemed very measured. It was a hot day. And I think they just took their time and put the game out of hand. And I was impressed by that. The opponent, not so much, but I was impressed what Indiana did.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. Before we leave the offense, because I've got a lot of great things actually to say about the defense, even though I think it was about 350 yards got put up. But about the offense in particular, I'm going to call some folks out on this one. And you mentioned it earlier, too, and that is the lack of loss of yardage. Guess what? Three players didn't lose yards. Two of them were quarterbacks that lost yards. Actually, all three of them were quarterbacks. Every running back that ran the ball did not lose yards on a gain yesterday. You know why? Because you outclassed the team. I mean, let's be fair about that. Georgia Southern is not good. And you took care of business. I mean, again, there's a lot to be said to just go out there and pounding it down their throat. I was a little discouraged that I thought most of the yards that Morgan Ellison gained, or a lot of the yards that Morgan Ellison gained, were because Morgan Ellison is 6'1", 225, and ran people over
yards
and broke tackles.
After contact.
Exactly right. Now, that's impressive down the line. You keep that up, you do that against Penn State and Michigan, and we're all going to be heralding the kid as the freshman of the year in the Big Ten. All right, let's be fair about that. And I certainly hope it comes. And you know what? I think he's good enough from what I've seen that he's going to be in conversations like that, because he is a big, tall, big, strong kid. You know, he does not look overwhelmed by all those moments.
Not at all.
So I don't think it was just a flash in the pan. My issue with it is simply that at times I didn't think we overpowered Georgia Southern enough with our offensive line. And again, that's going back to the long tail here of what that line's going to be able to do in the Big Ten. Because my gauge for this offensive line is not whether we run the ball against Georgia Southern. You have to run the ball against Georgia Southern. I was a little upset we didn't see more backs to try to get more folks involved in this running game and see what the offensive line itself
Majette
could create.
Majette was hurt.
I understand.
They weren't going to play him.
Cole Guest had four carries.
He did and broke a big one off.
Devontae Williams had four carries.
Yep.
Alex Rodriguez had three carries.
Alex Rodriguez was in mop-up time there.
When Morgan Ellison carries it 25 times and is hurt twice, albeit for just a moment or two,
yep,
or a play or two, that's where I'm thinking, okay, you know what? The kids had a great day. Let's see what somebody else can do.
Brookins was in the game for a few plays, mm-hmm, helping out block and going into some passing routes as well.
Yeah.
But Tyler Natee has been injured. He didn't have a very good good response to this injury. That's why you haven't seen him in any of these discussions. I'm going to go the opposite way on this. I like that they let Ellison get in a rhythm because, you know what? He came into the Virginia game later. He mm-hmm didn't start that game. That was Majette.
Right.
And when Majette got a little banged up, Majette's a better pass catcher. I think everybody knows that.
Yeah.
That's clear. He makes great catches.
Yeah, he's very versatile.
Good.
No
and, that, and that's a good punch in combination to right have. And I think on a hot summer's day, number one, Ellison was getting yards. Number two, mm-hmm, he was punishing Georgia Southern.
Well, no question.
And I think letting him get into that rhythm instead of you play a series, you play a series, you play a series, I think it showed the confidence or whatever they saw on tape and in practice after the Virginia game and said, mm-hmm, you've been rewarded this.
Right.
You've earned this spot,
right,
so why don't you go out there and try it?
And this is not in no way a complaint about Morgan Ellison. I mean, that'd be idiotic. But to me, I would have liked to come out of that saying, you know what, the offensive line just absolutely 100%
right
dominated. And what I felt happened was it was a little bit more about Morgan Ellison's physicality. I mean, you saw the difference in Cole Guest's running game. He had four carries for 45 yards. Well, guess what? 42 of them were on the one play where the offensive line actually blocked. On the other three, he had nowhere to go. Okay,
yeah.
So the one that they pop up the middle, he hits it like a freight train because that's what he does, an absolute speed and freight train up the middle, catches them in a blitz so the free safety isn't there. He flies up the middle for 42 yards because it's blocked well, and they catch him in a blitz. The other three plays, not a hell of a lot of blocking. He doesn't go very far.
Brandon Knight was back for his first game, didn't play a ton of plays.
This is about the long tail. This isn't about, you know, we stunk against Georgia Southern because that's not the truth. We need this offensive line to be able to be productive when the other team knows you want to run a little bit. I'm not saying, again, you run 400 yards against Michigan.
And Tom Allen,
you got to push
that
people around a little bit.
He said on third and one, fourth and one, when Indiana didn't get it, he said
back-to-back zero yards on
said
that
third
play
and one. He said it was a miscommunication. We had a bad assignment, And fourth and one, he was disappointed that they didn't get the push to get it over the hump. So
yeah.
you'd love to nail all those, and I get it. That's definite. But you had a first kid. Wara played a little bit late at Virginia because Stepniak went out.
Right.
And then Delroy Baker was bobbing around to right guard to right tackle when Knight was in and out. So they were kind of trying some different combinations.
Kreider was in and out of there, too.
Kreider was in and out.
You saw Stover played a little bit at the little left bit guard, later. Too. So, I mean, I know they put other guys in there.
Yeah, but they're the good news about the game with Georgia Southern is that they were bad enough to get these guys reps in game action.
Yes. Again, for me, I look at this. You've got nine more games, and they're all Big Ten games except for one. You've got to be more physical up front than you were even in this game if you want to be productive in those. I do agree. I'm glad they ran the ball as much as they did. I wanted them to establish that. You know, it wouldn't have made much sense to come out against Georgia Southern and just say, hey, we got bigger, stronger wide receivers. Let's just throw go routes all day long. We've all seen that. It's on tape. Everybody knows we can do that. So why practice that all day long? I agree they should have gone physical, and they did. And, you know, they hit a couple pass plays also, too. So, I mean, that's the nice part there.
Well, that was the other interesting part, I think, and we'll get to that in the defensive side of things, because that offense could give you some problems if you're not doing your job. But Mike DeBoard came out and said, he thought the line played well, didn't play great, played well, but they liked what they saw on tape from Wara. And if that's a sign moving forward, that's another body to add to the rotation.
Sure.
You're going to need bodies all year long. One of the things we've seen with the offensive line from Indiana University, even last year with Demetric Camille and Dan Feeney, didn't play a lot of games.
Yeah.
So you and have to have,
struggled when they
you
were
have to have some guys to get in there and take some reps, and they have absolutely no problem playing Kreider. We've seen that just about all the time.
Since the beginning.
And Buck even pointed out once on the air, he said, oh, our center just pulled.
Yeah.
If our center
he's an athletic kid.
So if our center can do that, we might have some better things in the future. But
you don't see that often.
Right.
But if you get a kid who's athletic, absolutely.
Knight's not 100% because obviously you only practice for about a week or so trying to get back to this. So that's a positive ramping moving forward. Didn't re-injure anything. Took some plays, took some contact, got used to it, knocked the rust off. Brandon Knight getting healthy 100% is going to help this offensive line.
Absolutely.
So to get him back into the flow. And then what's the biggest key with offensive line? It's unity.
It's continuity.
Snapping with the same five guys, snapping it in third and ones, fourth and ones, third and 13s, second and eights.
Yep.
And the more that comes together, you hate to have guys hurt, but it's just football these days. Guys get hurt. The more guys that get a chance to play and can play, you don't want to have to use them, but you're going to use them.
And it helps a bit to have continuity at the quarterback. I'm just going to throw that out there because, you know, a young kid who hasn't played much may not get you in the right call on a third down, whereas the fifth-year senior you expect would. So that can mess some things up a little bit,
too. And the good news is it's a learning experience in a winning situation where it's easier to talk about and go through the film, where it doesn't cost you the game and you say, well, this is where it turned the wrong direction, then it went all downhill. That wasn't the case. So
offense did what it needed to do. It was not perfect, but it was pretty darn good.
And the one thing that stuck out about the offense as well, no wide receivers made any plays, and they have guys that can make plays.
Yeah, well, exactly.
They didn't need
Ian Thomas was wide open. We've got to take a quick break. We'll talk defense when we get back. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass and News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming notes for you. We're with you tonight until 7:45, so that's another hour or so, a little over. And then pregame for Monday Night Football takes over. Dallas is at Arizona tonight. We'll have the Reds the next two nights, 7:40, first pitches there from Milwaukee. Thursday night, NFL kicks back off with the Bears at the Packers starting here on WGCL at 8 o'clock. And then Friday, it's back to high school football. Terre Haute North comes to town to face the South Panthers. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and kickoff is 7:30 for that. And then on Saturday, we had what has been a big game the last couple years. I'm not sure it will be this year. Ole Miss is at Alabama.
If it was the other way around, you'd have had a better chance at a bigger
game. Probably. 8:30 is the pregame. It was pretty entertaining last year, and then Ole Miss's season, of course, fell apart. But 8:30 is the pregame. Kickoff is 9 o'clock for that.
Some guys play their bowl game in September.
Yeah, could. And
some guys play it.
People do that against Alabama, too.
And if that's not enough for you, a triple header of NFL action next Sunday. We'll open with a division battle. Colts fans will want to listen to this. Titans and Texans get us started at 12:30. Eagles and Chargers follows that. And then Sunday Night Football. Is Andrew Luck going to practice this week? If he is, he's not playing in Seattle.
And we'll talk about the Colts here in a
little
while, too.
But there'll be our 7:30 Colts pregame with Bob Lamy for Sunday Night Football.
You better listen. You might not be able to watch it.
That is possibly true. Yeah. I know they didn't fix it on Sunday.
It's not fixed yet.
There was rumors that a deal was – more imminent than it has been. So that's a big, big, big revenue time for the NBC affiliate in Indianapolis with Sunday Night Football. And if they've been promising sponsors for the last 2 months that, oh, we'll have you on that game, it'll be interesting to see. If it doesn't clear up for that game, why should it clear up ever? So, again, just keep it on WGCL, and you have nothing to worry about if you have DirecTV.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. Looking at the flip side, the defensive side of the ball for the Hoosiers against Georgia Southern, again, victorious. It was easy. It was 52-17. The Hoosiers, the final score of the game was a fumble recovery by Andre Brown, a nice strip by Andre Brown.
Yeah, and held him up, recovery. Ripped it out, and ran in.
There was a 70-yard punt return by Jayshon Harris also, so that's his second game in a row that he's done that. He's now tied an Indiana record for a season, and the second player to do it in back-to-back games. You look at the statistics here for the team at the end of the game, and you see that Georgia Southern rushed for 242 yards, and they had 375 yards of total offense. And I'm going to tell you, I think the defense was far better than the offense for the Hoosiers in this game, and here's why. It's a tricky attack. It's a triple option attack. No, they're not real great on offense, okay? But what it is 100% is it's about fundamentals in every single stage of the ball for the defense out there. It's got to get aligned correctly. It's got to play its gaps. It's got to play its assignments. It's got to do so with, by the way, a bunch of young kids that are still out there, because they're sticking freshmen out there, the Lane kids out there playing some corner. So they've got some young kids that are playing out there. A couple kids got hurt, so you got other kids coming in at one point in time. Certainly you've got some young kids on the line that are playing. But I thought the entire first half, other than that, the one scoring drive, absolutely nailed it, 100%, nailed it across the board. Didn't get out of gaps, didn't tackle poorly.
Created turnovers.
Were in the right spot, created turnovers for the first time this year because they hadn't yet. It's backside plays that they didn't get caught on. They're in position for those things. These are all things that will pay off to a degree. With regards to defense down the line, not the style you see necessarily, but certainly from the standpoint of making sure you play your responsibilities and don't give up, especially on backside type of plays. Option football is so much about your responsibilities, and so often you saw two and three guys jumping all over the quarterback of the pitch guy to make the tackle. To me, it was a big performance from the defense, even though maybe statistically at the end of the day it doesn't look as good as you want.
Well, I think those statistics can be misleading for the simple fact that 45-7 with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter of the game was over,
and then
anything after that is just that's for the fantasy football guys. That's what that was about. The two touchdowns looked to be for me on broken defensive coverages. Tigray Scales was late getting to the five, the tight end. He was way behind that play, which was open. And then the other one was a pass play as well.
63-yard pass, 23-yard pass. Those were their two. Field goal was the other one.
Right. And again, guy getting behind you on that coverage. It looked like Fields jumped in. And the corner thought there was help over the top, and there wasn't, and he kind of let him go. And the kid actually made a couple nice throws. He wasn't hyper-accurate all day because Indiana had pressure at his feet, had pressure in his arms, had pressure everywhere else. That offense isn't going to throw a lot. But back to your point, the defense did exactly what it needed to do. Three and out, three and out, three and out, two and out, fumble. And all three fumbles were rips. They weren't hits.
That's
they
right.
were rips. They were getting in the pile. They were gang tackling, and guys were digging at the ball. And they pulled them out. Dutcher ripped one and recovered one.
Yep.
Brown ripped one, recovered one, scored a touchdown.
Himself,
and who had the third one that popped out? The Hoosiers dove on it. Anyhow, again, they're just gnawing at guys in the ball. It's not flying in and lighting guys up. It's gang tackling, and that's something you teach.
You coach
get to
that.
The ball.
Exactly right.
And that's why Tom Allen was excited after the game. He was mad at Virginia. He said, hey, look. Couple of them taken away with an interception penalty taken away. And then the hit that
the fumble on
Greg
targeting.
Gooch didn't play the first half Saturday as well. It was nice to see those. He said last week they're going to come in bunches, and boy, he was right because his team made them come in bunches. It wasn't gifts. It wasn't mishandled snaps.
Well, that's important.
It wasn't loose carries. It was physical. Takeaway football, and he has to be happy about
that. That's important to me, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because when you watch the game and you look at it and you say, oh, that's great. That's a great interception, you know, but if the quarterback overthrows his guy by 8 yards and his kid doesn't have a chance at it, but we got a free safety that's 50 yards down the field and he just kind of camps under it like a punt, you know, we take it, we'll put it in the spat book and be happy and high five and, you know, give the guy the axe or whatever teams are giving, the gold axe.
Chance,
whatever
right.
those things are all about nowadays.
The belt.
You can do that. Hey, that's fantastic. But it's not causing it. And that's where you're exactly right. You know, the fact that you go in there and you make the play and you get multiple guys there, which allows somebody to go after the ball and hack at it. That's all coached, as you mentioned, and that's all strategic. You're attempting to do that, and you're forcing that. You are truly forcing that turnover. That, to me, is the good part about it. I'm not going to flip out about three of them just because it is Georgia Southern. But, again, to me, I look at it and I look at the fundamental side of things. The other side here is you did have a couple guys go off injured at one point in time. A couple of them maybe didn't have anything to do with the style, but you did have four or five different penalties that were low block penalties.
Yeah, there was one on a kickoff.
Yeah, I mean, there was a low block there, and I think there were four chop blocks or cut blocks, which is where you got one guy engaged high and a guy hits you low. Those are all illegal blocks.
That's their thing to do.
But what you're taught to do there, of course, if you're not engaged, is use your hands to keep people away from your legs. And again, you saw Hoosier defenders in position early in the game frequently because they never let their legs consistently get chopped away from them, so they couldn't run to the ball. I mean, it's fundamentals from literally a one-on-one drill that you do in camp in the spring all the way to playing the backside and not getting beat by a cutback or anything like that. That's why I'm so happy about the defense in this one.
Well, and they had 2 weeks to prepare for it, which didn't hurt. That wasn't going to be the case originally, but when you play something that's as interesting as this, for lack of a better term, yeah, be prepared and execute it. And I think that's what made Tom Hallen and his staff happy, because guys were making plays. He signaled out defensive players of the game were Alan Stallings, who started in place of Gooch and had
a sack. Young kid at end.
And he was disruptive. He's a lot quicker than people, I think, might give him credit for. We heard about him last year in camp.
Heard a little too much about him last year. Well, he didn't play after the first game.
That's right.
Red shirt. But, yes, athletic kid, 6'2", 240. He's only a second-year player here, and he's in a position where they're going to option him all day long. He's either going to get optioned or he's got to be in position on the backside all day long. So that's a key spot.
And the other position I thought that played well was the outside corners coming in to tackle on running plays. You saw Andre Brown. He was the other defensive player of the game, along with Stallings.
Tyler Green.
Because Ashawn Riggins was in the backfield all day.
Yeah.
He was, and then sadly he got hurt. But, again, you've got guys flying to the football, getting involved with the football.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I don't think we called Jonathan Crawford's name once.
I saw him out there in a few plays.
He played the whole game. Yeah. But my point was, it wasn't getting to Crawford.
Right.
Crawford's
exactly
the last line of defense. Exactly he didn't have a whole lot to do.
Everybody up front played so well. Again,
your safety didn't have to be involved.
Safeties have to be good tacklers. They're there to be safeties. They're there to make the sure tackle when nobody else does. It didn't get to him often enough.
He defended a few passes.
Because the guys were making the plays up front. There were bodies all around the rushing attack. And again, when you pack it in like that, you're going to bring the bodies in to start. And the Hoosiers defense packed in and just took their chances out wide. But they played it all well. That's why I'm happy.
I'll add to that as well. You didn't see them fooled in the running attack. You didn't see them forget assignments for the most part. The passing, the couple passes are weird. They're going to get you on those because they play fake it 99 times and the 100th time they get you on that. I get it. You saw guys like Nate Hoff running sideline to sideline, jumping in on plays. Your nose tackle going all the way to the far side to make a tackle. Jacob Robinson, I thought, had a great game inside. Mm-hmm. We called his number a lot because you know what? Their job is to create havoc and, like you said, get that stuff moving. Get it moving so the linebackers can get in there and the corners and safeties
can get
in there. Mm-hmm. And they did, and they were shedding bodies because they were on the bottom of a lot of those tackles. So they were involved with it. So they were doing both their jobs. Should they do that against Georgia Southern? I couldn't agree more.
Well, sure. Absolutely.
You're absolutely. But, again, the execution and talking about it are two different things. They went out and did it. That's why, as an Indiana fan, you can have hope. You can see, hey, look, you know Penn State's line's a little bit different than that. You know Ohio State's line's a little bit different than that. But these guys are gleaning onto what they want done. They're gleaning onto the fundamentals they learned in camp, and it's moving forward. If they weren't doing this, and Indiana threw for 580 yards and scored 8 passing touchdowns, and they ran for 375 and you won 58-32, we wouldn't be sitting here saying the same thing. There's a difference to it. There is not perfection. There's never any perfection in football, but I'm with you. I saw enough good stuff moving in the right direction where the fringe, let's clean it up. You didn't have a lot of let's clean it up to talk about on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, look, we've talked about a couple, you know, because there's a small handful of Indiana players, individual players that have star, you know, kind of written on them. We know Tigre Scales is certainly fantastic. Rashard Fant is as good a kind of cover corner as there is all over the place. I love Jonathan Crawford. Marcelino Ball obviously stepped in last year. Riggins had a real nice year last year. But so much of defense, especially up front, is about your responsibilities. and doing your job. I say it all the time. Do your job, your responsibility. You've got to do that. And this game tests you for that. So it doesn't matter that you covered the triple option at the end of the day, but it does matter that you paid that much attention to your responsibilities and stuck with it, around the line of scrimmage, because that will come into play every single week. No matter what, the read option is an option play, and now people are starting to throw a third option into that, be it a quick screen pass or an underneath play like a shovel pass. People are starting to do that.
Or the end around part of it.
Yeah, they're giving you a third option off of that now. So this is going to come into play every single week that you've got guys that are buying into this whole do your job on defense thing. And that and tackling last year were the biggest difference between previous years. The biggest improvements they made were those two things. So it's still there. It was probably the best that I saw this year was this week. Of course, it's partly the opponent.
Sure.
But you've got to do it then. And then they did it consistently.
You
threw a lot of bodies at people,
and
too.
And you didn't see him missing tackles. You saw him wrapping up. You saw him doing a good job hitting on that. Obviously, they were fatigued. Obviously, you're right. They threw a ton of numbers out there. We were scrambling through the ledger, seeing even on offense, even on defense. I mean, Zeke Walker played in the secondary, and Damian Willis was at linebacker. For Jamie Thompson got big minutes.
Thompson
Ben Bach was in the game.
Yep.
So you just saw guys rotate through because it was hot and because you can get film on guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Allen mentioned that after the game, and he mentioned that today. He said, you have to go out and see how they do it in the real situation, because if we're going to have a laundry list of injuries on my sheet here from the press conference, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Those guys are important guys.
That's a lot of guys.
Important guys. You mentioned Nate Hoff.
Marcelino Ball. Questionable. No status. There's no status on Ball.
Didn't play this week for a reason. Ashawn Riggins went out in this game.
Questionable.
Yeah.
Keontae Walton had surgery. He's out for weeks, but not out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, he was getting minutes and making a special teams guy where he can help you out in those
second
areas.
Second and a half team linebacker right now, but you need these guys.
Khalil Bryan, I thought, gave him some good minutes. He came in and got involved. And Juan Harris, I guess, is doubtful. These are my notes from earlier. So that's what we know. They're never going to tell you what's wrong with guys until they tell you what's wrong with guys. They don't have to. The HIPAA regulations do that. Everybody knows that by now. But there's two players we did not talk about once at media day and on this program, and we're 42 minutes in. The big two that we were going to talk about, how is this going to work out between them?
That's right.
21 and 3. And you know what they did? They handed off the ball well.
Yeah.
They each threw a touchdown pass for a big chunk of yards, managed the game well, got guys in and out of the situations. And for what it was on that Saturday, hot, nasty day, some big hits flying through. Lego took one of them. They made plays. They didn't make mistakes. They didn't force them. They didn't force themselves into the spotlight for negative reasons.
Right.
And they did their jobs, just like the defense, just like the offense. Everybody doing their job. I don't have a big problem with any of that. So I think that's one of the other positives, and we'll talk about, obviously, when we roll back in this direction.
That's right. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number, so we'll talk about those quarterbacks. And we'll talk a little bit about the Big Ten, and Penn State's coming up. Yeah, they're not bad.
They got a lot of everything.
Little different tests this week.
A lot different.
Quick break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Again, programming notes for you. We are with you tonight until 7:45. We're going to do this throughout the fall once again. Last couple of years we've been doing it, but it leads you right into pregame for Monday Night Football. We have it here at 7:45 and kickoff just after 8:30 for Dallas at Arizona. We've got the Reds the next two nights, 7:40 first pitch as they are in Milwaukee. We get the NFL going again on Thursday night with the Bears at the Packers at 8 o'clock. And Friday night, we are back with high school football. Terre Haute North in town to face the South Panthers. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and kickoff, 7:30 Friday night. Looking back at the Hoosiers, they are victorious. 52-17 is the score over Georgia Southern. Outmatched, and the Hoosiers did what they're supposed to do, and they made it obvious early. Jumped on them 31-0. never let Georgia Southern have a chance.
And did it in all three phases. That was awfully pleasing to the eye as well. How about Jayshon Harris? Two punt returns in 2 weeks. Hey, that's great. He's not going to get any more balls the rest of the year, but that's
no.
And, he's earned that.
And, you know, look, there's always blocking involved when it comes to special teams.
Right.
But the kid is – you got to find the gaps. And it takes a different kind of vision, I think, to find him in a punt return type situation. You've got to usually make somebody miss the minute you catch it, which is hard as can be anyways.
I think since he's misplayed the ball at the 2 yard line, which gave Indiana
did it early in this game too.
Terrible possession he did.
Not deep, but it lost about 15 yards in field position.
Right. He's rebounded both times with touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So I will give him the benefit
as long as he does that.
So
it's
will,
okay. Yeah.
So will Hoosier fans. But he's a water bug. He's elusive. He sees the field really well. And after missing the last 2 years with two knee surgeries, it's a great story. He's named the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week for the second week running.
Love that the kid's playing at all.
Second time in a row he played. Sorry. Bye week.
I just love that he's back.
It is.
Playing great, too. Morgan Ellison, Freshman of the Week this week also.
No surprise.
25 carries, 186 yards. But as you mentioned,
zero for loss
before the break, the quarterbacks.
That was supposed to be one of the big side projects this weekend.
There will be an ongoing question here for the Hoosiers. How do these two quarterbacks deal with this situation? And this situation right now does not look horrible. Let's start there.
No.
They both have played well for the most part. Richard Lego wasn't great early in the Virginia game. He did turn the ball over once, I believe. But, he was struggling with looks he was getting. And he struggles with the fact that he's not a running quarterback. And so it's a change-up look to bring in Peyton Ramsey. They did a little bit more this game of changing that up by using it within drives, you know, either in key spots or certainly within the red zone area. Not sure it always worked out the way they wanted it to, but you know what? Nothing horrible happened out of it.
The great news, though, it keeps the other teams watching the film on their toes.
Well, it gives you the other option.
Don't know what it's going to do. Yeah.
It gives you the other option around around the red zone because the field is shrunk and you don't have the 50-yard pass down the sideline to Simi Cobbs at that point. You only have the jump ball. There's a lot of questions that are going to come out of this entire thing, but I think what we can say after week three is at least so far so good. Nothing horrible is happening. They seem to be managing it okay. Richard Lego did have to go out in this game.
Yeah, you held your breath
an
and
injury.
You said, hey, well, this problem might have just sorted itself out if it is a problem. But
and again, with a game that you're overmatching the opponent, they didn't come up with gimmicks and crazy stuff you hadn't seen before just to throw a bunch of looks out there as a way to beat Georgia Southern. And that's the other thing I liked about it. It was more straightforward. It was more, here we are. Here we're coming at you. We don't think you're going to stop us. You're not going to stop us. And we're not going to pull triple reverses all day.
You know, I've only seen Mike DeBoard coach 3 games up close and personal. Mm-hmm. Game 1 threw 163 passes.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Because that's where they were moving the ball.
And they couldn't run it.
And he told us after the game, you could run, and you're not moving the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting into field position. You're not getting in closer to scoring opportunities. So they thought the big pass would help them against Ohio State, would put them in passes. Because there's no point in to control the clock there and not score.
Yeah.
You have to score to beat Ohio State.
Score.
So I understood his philosophy on that, which made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's not your ideal strategy.
No, but you have to take
what
you're given.
But it's what worked against Ohio State.
And it was working. And it was working, absolutely. 14-13 lead at halftime, absolutely. Then the Virginia game, you saw it wasn't working. And they they went to a switch. And I don't think anybody remembers this as maybe as clearly as we do. Peyton Ramsey's first drive in the UVA game was Jayshon Harris's miscatch punt on the 2 yard line.
Yeah.
They put him into that situation on purpose.
Yeah.
This wasn't the clock tings and you run in and I run out. They had enough confidence on the road to stick him on his own 2 yard line to start his first drive ever in college. That's important, in my opinion, to stick.
They played against Ohio State, but I know where you're coming
from. Against a physical, multiple front defense that showed everything in the book.
Showing you all kinds of stuff.
And they put him in the game.
Yeah.
So if anybody's worried about what he can and perhaps cannot handle, the rest of the game is history. But no one remembers he started on his own 2 yard line with a lot of things that could go wrong quickly, and maybe not the best line play, and maybe not the best snap.
And I've said this over the years, you know.
He aced that test.
If you want to know what coaches think about players, watch how they play them. And that's exactly right. They obviously think a lot of the kid and his moxie and his abilities and his decision-making. Or you don't put him in that situation by any stretch. You put the fifth-year kid out there that you have more trust
in. And then he rattles off his
first they trust
11 passes complete, leads him to scoring drives, and the Hoosiers lead at halftime 17-3, whatever it was there. And then you saw the first time Peyton Ramsey enters the game against Georgia Southern. Handoff, 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 drive, 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 down to the 3 or 4 yard line. Boom, Wildcat. Yep. Let's switch it up. Boom, he comes running in. Lego comes running off.
Yeah.
So you've got the curveball. Mm-hmm. You've got the straight swap. You've got multiple ways to attack this, right, which I think makes it devilishly in the details for the opposing team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have perhaps the talent of Ohio State, might not concern you as much, but it's going to be different because all of a sudden you go from blocking 10 to trying to tackle 11.
Yeah, you get the extra block because
you're going to get the extra running. Exactly right. Yeah. So there is that wrinkle there that they showed, which was good.
Yeah, the red zone thing is going to be interesting to watch. I don't like the idea of always having him as a red zone quarterback. And I only mean that from the standpoint of there's times where I want to see Richard Lego throw the ball from the 10-yard line. All right? I mean,
I
want to see his decision making. I want to see, you know, you have to deal with the fact that he's in there. I'd like to see some play action in a tight, you know, formation. I'd like to see all those things still to some degree with Richard Lego. And the other thing here is, while from what I've seen, I have perfect trust in Peyton Ramsey, and I think the coaches certainly do, he's not a big guy.
No, he's not.
And so this is not Tim Tebow in the 3-yard line where you're going to run a whole bunch of quarterback dives over and over
slippery.
And over. Yeah.
He's slippery. He makes good decisions, and he makes good reads. Now, I think that's why that's there.
He's got the option keeper, which is, I think, one of the main reasons they like him right now, is that he's got that, and he's got the scramble capability. But he does not have the power capability of some quarterbacks you've seen on a grander stage in that standpoint.
But what he does is gives you three options where Lego probably gives you one and a half.
Yeah. So it's a good option to have in the red zone.
Why it's a good mix-up. And as the game progressed, you didn't see Ramsey or Lego trying to force balls into places to determine who was going to be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season. They played well within the offense. Lego was inaccurate to start the game. That's fine. That's not hugely surprising. Number one, he didn't play the last three quarters at Virginia.
That's right.
And he had an off week. So to get back into that rhythm on a hot day with new pieces on an offensive line, I'm not making excuses.
No, his first two passes, he missed by about a yard.
He did. And one was at somebody's feet, I believe, third or fourth one. Crowd got a little restless there, which I thought was very interesting.
That's Indiana fans. That is. They need to stop.
But that's, I don't think you're going to get any better with that. And but Lego's great read of the day was simply finding a wide open Ian Thomas. Mm-hmm. You saw in a couple other football games over the weekend that quarterbacks perhaps not in tune or have had enough snaps or are second-round picks from Notre Dame miss guys like that because they're so in tune to not screwing something up. They don't get to that progression. But Lego made a great play with a guy diving in his leg. He saw it coming.
That's right.
And he stood in there and took the hit. I think it was more scary where he got hit than the...
Yeah, it was more bent back. He kind of bent back
on that ankle and his knee. Good.
That's right, yeah.
But luckily, he got off, jogged off under his own power.
Really, he got hit more around the waist.
And then how he crumbled. He's a big fella. He's all a 6'5".
Yeah, it was more bending backwards.
That made you hold your breath for a minute or two. But when Peyton Ramsey came in, you didn't see Peyton Ramsey take any shots down the field. You didn't see.
He's not running around doing crazy stuff.
No, he's not trying to get two extra yards. He's just not being football.
He's not doing the stuff that drove me crazy with Xander Diamont.
That's right.
There were times when Xander Diamont came in the game and all of a sudden he's running around like a crazy chicken in the background. You know,
trying to take a loss of 8 into a loss of 5. Yeah, just take your medicine.
Thinking he's going to make everybody miss. He's not doing that, and that's incredibly important.
No, and I think that's, again, shows the maturity and confidence in there. If folks were wondering where was Nick Tronte in this game, well, you answered your own question. He's the true freshman that they didn't want to burn his redshirt, and that's why you went to Mike Fiacable in that situation, because there was enough guys and enough triage in that game where at some point you just handed off to Alex Rodriguez, who's been nothing but selfless for this program, and Thomas, 38, what was his first name? You looked it up a minute ago. We can't remember, but those guys.
That's right, Connor Thomas.
Those guys have practiced hard and play on the scout team.
Devontae Williams came in. He caught a beautiful pass by Ramsey, by the way, over his shoulder
And that was funny, too, because that was the first play he came in after Ellison got dinged up the first time, and they run the little crispy wheel, a little bit of a fly route out of the backfield. But it was executed well. The ball was on the money. It didn't have to be a Hollywood throw. Mike DeBoer talks about this. He says, do what the play requires.
Mm-hmm.
We screw up if we give you the wrong play.
That's right.
Execute the play we call. We don't need any heroes. Mm-hmm. And it looks like both those kids, on a day where all you heard for 2 weeks is who's going to beat out who, who's going to play who, they kept it within the range.
And as you mentioned, that was pretty cool. The fans at the stadium reacted early
because
fans react like that.
Fans will always react.
These kids are both going to play a lot.
They are.
Richard Leggo is probably still going to play most of the snaps because he gives you the most danger all over the field. It is Peyton Ramsey's ability to run as an option that's going to get him out there. It's his decision-making that's going to keep getting him out there. He's not as accurate as Richard Leggo. He's not, especially on the deep ball. So that danger goes away. You lose a little bit of that going down the field potential, you know, as a kind of backing the defense off. So that's kind of the things to look at. You know, Richard Leggo can't really run, but you now are starting to see the Peyton Ramsey can't really toss it down the field with the same accuracy.
I think if you're a fan and you look at Saturday's box score, the one thing that jumps off off the page for you is Simi Cobbs, I think, had one catch or two catches and was an absolute non-factor.
Minus
his great touchdown recovery, being aware to Ellison's fumble. He did a great job on that, playing to the whistle, didn't take anything for granted. If you'd have told me Indiana was going to score 52 points and Cobbs would have a fumble recovery touchdown,
and that's it,
I probably would have said, well, that's interesting. Where do you think the points are going to come from?
Right.
Jay Sean Harris, Andre Brown. Well, that takes us 14 minus 52 is down to 38.
Freshman Morgan Ellison.
Touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. Yep. And that was the great thing because it was separate. It was spread out. It's not Indiana is a passing-only team that they're only going to throw to Thomas and Cobbs at the goal line. They pounded it inside. They took their chances with letting their line, trying to find some confidence, trying to move the football.
Well, that's why this is a good win that you can.
They're all good wins, right?
You don't just look at it and go, nah, pff, Georgia Southern. You look at it and say, you know, this is a really good win because we didn't just rely on our amazing players to make amazing plays over guys that weren't recruited to the Big Ten. I mean, that's not what happened at the end of the day. You know, they used a lot of different aspects of this to control the game 100%. It was never in question. And you did it, like you said, without just saying, you know, I'm going to throw the best player out there and give him the ball 80,000 times.
You could have chucked it to Simi Cobb every other play, and he would have caught it and got 400 yards, and it would have been easy.
Right, exactly right, but you didn't. We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Talk some Colts when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone.
Here on 96.1.
All right, you're back in the Red Zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again. We're here with you until 7:45, and we'll kick it over to the pregame for Monday Night Football. Dallas is at Arizona tonight, so we move over to the professional game, and in particular the Indianapolis Colts, who were victorious 31-28. You heard it here on WGCL.
Never a doubt. Never a doubt.
It's amazing how easy this schedule actually is right now, and yet they're going to be 1-2 at this point, but at least they got the victory. They held on for the victory. Up 28-7, up 31-14, and Browns give them some credit. They made it interesting. Colts made them work for it to take as much time as they possibly could. But you know what? I'm going to talk about the first half when the Colts, both sides of the ball, pretty darn good, which is a good thing because you got Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, and you're not quite sure what you're going to get out of him every week.
And
but what you're getting is you're getting consistent play out of the kid.
And I'll preface this with the Browns were 2-27 in their last 29 games entering the game and were favored over the Colts. So that tells you what some people thought about that. And the Cleveland Browns playing a second-round draft pick in this, third game as quarterback. This was not the 86 Bears. This was not Dan Marino in his heyday. This was Cleveland. And the Browns, we didn't see a very good Georgia Southern team. I think with the Browns, you saw some teams with some serious deficiencies. But it's the NFL, everybody in the league where you play for pay. How couldn't Brissett be better this week? That was the question that we talked about. Terry and I did last Wednesday. We knew you were going to get a better performance out of him. You knew the playbook was going to be expanded. You knew the comfortability of dealing with just the simple facts. They said during the game, he saw something last Sunday and he couldn't change the play because he forgot the code.
Yeah.
That's life in the
NFL.
That's exactly what happens. So you thought it would be better. But just I want to keep this in perspective a little bit, because this is the Cleveland Browns, and they are not very good for a reason.
Right.
And when you hear Brissett becomes the first Colt since Burt Jones in 1974 to have two rushing TDs and one throwing TD, I'm just happy the Colts got into the end zone after seeing how many points? 9 against the Rams,
yeah.
And then 13 against how many touchdowns was that? Not very many, folks. Not very many at all. T.Y. Hilton showed up. That was good, but I think you're right. The Colts, in a quarterback league, you got to have a guy that can play quarterback. Because I'm going to point out Frank Gore again, and people get tired of me talking about it, but you don't want to hear about Frank Gore's numbers in this game. You don't want to do it, because the Colts can't run the ball. That offensive line struggles, and Brissett really did a nice job of making some plays on his own when he could, survivalist plays, but he is not the finished article yet either.
No, well, he's not the finished article. They don't necessarily want him to be.
That's a good thing and a bad thing.
They're going to work on it, obviously, but they want Andrew Luck, who may practice this week, although they're saying he probably won't play next weekend, so you probably get Jacoby Brissett for one more week. What you had to start with at the quarterback position after week one was a guy that isn't going to put you in the horrible spots that Scott Tolzien started to, because there were two pick sixes in that game, just bad, bad, bad. So you got to start with not turning the ball over, and unfortunately, Brissett made it 60 minutes, but he didn't make it the last couple in overtime in that situation.
Just as bad.
That handed the game over. So, I mean, you still made that mistake at the end of the day in this game and in that game. What you saw, though, is you saw a pretty cool customer in the pocket, and it's unfortunately a pocket that is frequently disintegrating around him no matter who the opposition is.
Yeah, because the line stinks.
And so he's got to be cool. And it's a pocket that doesn't have the benefit of, as you mentioned, a running game that anybody's afraid of. And, you know, he didn't have Marlon Mack as any help as any kind of home run hitter in this particular game either. Well, until you get that offensive line settled down and running the ball well, it's Jacoby Brissett or it's Andrew Luck. They're still going to have to be dealing with pressure on them. And even though it's just the Cleveland Browns, Jacoby Brissett did pretty darn well with the pressure on him in this case. No turnovers, no interceptions thrown. He was sacked 3 times. And the plays that he made near the end zone are the benefit of a guy that's a pretty good and pretty strong quarterback in the backfield. He's got good vision, who is cool with pressure around him. And you caught him in a couple man coverages where the defenders weren't even looking at him. And that's where the quarterback can make you pay. And DeShone Kizer made the Colts pay in a couple of the situations himself.
He did. And the thing you like about Brissett was he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't take the team out of positions to score. He didn't try to force things in there. You heard in week number 2 against the Cardinals, you heard the wide receivers, he throws it a little hard. It's hard to catch. He throws the ball too hard. Give me a break. You're making how many millions of dollars? Yeah. But the point was, his worst receiver in this game was the best receiver for the last how many? Jack Doyle was terrible in the game.
Yeah.
Terrible. And they still found a way to win. Frank Gore, again, I'll get to him in a minute, but you found a way to get T.Y. Hilton involved in the game. And we talked about that last week with Terry. I said he is worthless if you don't throw the deep ball. You have to throw the deep ball. Whether he catches or not, it's great if he catches it. Well, they weren't even throwing routes like that.
They did things in this game to get T.Y. Hilton open.
And look what happened.
Because, by the way, T.Y. Hilton at times disappears on his own.
He does.
And you're not going to expect him to run such precise routes that he gets away from everybody. You've got to run some things where he gets caught in some traffic,
but
and they did.
But you have to get the ball
but you have to try.
Down the field. Everything you saw in game one was underneath, trying to fit it into tight spots. That interception at the end was a classic example of that.
Yep.
He didn't do that yesterday, which was good and bad, because sometimes I don't think he looked like he was trying to throw with more touch on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you saw some balls over the top. The two balls Moncrief made, he got destroyed in week 2 for not going after the football.
Yeah.
Both his catches were comebacks, getting in the guy
play, and fight. Right.
And because the ball was poorly thrown is my point.
Yeah.
Those weren't comeback routes. Those were balls that were at his ankle and that were woefully underthrown that he picked up before the defensive back did. So Brissett wasn't perfect, but he got help from his playmakers making plays.
Right.
T.Y. Hilton caught ball. He dropped one. What'd they do? They went right back to him, boom, right down the field for a touchdown. So when you have the confidence of the guys around you to be able to make plays, whether it's a line giving you a half a more second, whether it's Gore getting a burst of 21 to open up something for 5 minutes, he looked more comfortable. We thought he would be. We thought he'd have more playbook. He did have more playbook. It looked like that. And the Colts didn't hurt themselves. You didn't see a bunch of stupid penalties except for on special teams, which they continue from the same guy, which is unbelievable. And you saw the Colts defense make plays that they had to make. What do I mean? Malik Hooker has to catch that ball.
Yeah.
Rashad Melvin has to catch that ball. Mm-hmm. So those, in the old days, we got guys with hands on their helmets, perhaps looking at the sky when it's not Vontae Davis.
Mm-hmm.
They made plays when they had to make some plays. In the red zone as well,
yep.
That was encouraging. But the Brissett experience is going to be easier for Brissett when Moncrief battles for balls,
when T.Y.
Hilton runs better routes, and then you had Jack Doyle stink up the place, and they still won almost comfortably.
Yeah, look, there's always so much talk about quarterbacks, especially
all the credit when you get the good and all the credit when you get the bad.
And I still don't think Scott Tolzien was as bad as everybody says.
Not at all.
Now, he was in week one when he threw two balls to the opposition for pick sixes that ended the game for you. But at the same time, the defense gave up another 30 points. So,
didn't challenge on the 1 yard line.
Nothing was good that day.
No.
What Jacoby Brissett has shown you is not Pro Bowl quality, but he has shown you a certain degree of coolness back there. He's not shown you that he's extra reactionary, both in the way he acts between plays and how he handles the team, but also in his decision making. He's not all over the map where he's killing himself over one thing or a bad thing, or he looks himself pretty steady, takes what's there when it's there, and he's doing this without help. And I can't stress this enough. You've got to be able to run the ball somewhat, and they are absolutely not doing it.
Colts haven't ran the ball in 5 years.
They had 36 attempts here. Now, five of them were Jacoby Brissett, and most of those are going to be because of his scrambling.
Right, and he had a big one taken away on a holding penalty as well. He had a 30-yarder.
But the fact that they cannot get anything going up front is going to continue to be a huge problem all year long. They're 1-2 right now. They're not going to have five wins at the end of the year if they can't run the ball at all.
And that's the
problem. This is the easy part of their schedule, and they're 1-2 right now.
Frank Gore had 11 carries for 44 yards in the first half with a 21-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
He finished with 25 for 57.
Yeah.
He had 13 second-half carries, 14 second-half carries for 13 yards.
When they wanted to kill some clock off, they could not run the ball.
They brought Matt Jones in.
Yeah.
They tried Turbin. They tried everything under the sun. But my point is, what do you have Gore for? I guess he didn't do enough. Because that's what they showed you. They gave him that many carries.
When you get hit in the backfield, I say it again. When he didn't get hit in the backfield, he made somebody miss out wide and went for 21 yards.
That's it. One cut and gone.
The problem is that's not happening very often. Matt Jones had one for three. Turbin had five for 18. Nobody's going for yards rushing the ball.
That's the problem.
It's been like that for several years.
And now look at the gross totals. 36 for 99, 92.
Yeah, 92.
That's 2.3 a carry. Last week they were 2.6 a carry.
Yep.
That's not helping the quarterback. No. I completely agree with that. So that's
whether his name is Tolzien or Brissett.
It doesn't matter. Or luck.
And that's the important part.
Or luck. This isn't going to change.
Do things loosen up if Andrew Luck comes back? Maybe slightly. But the bottom line is you're still going to have to run the ball when somebody knows you're going to run the ball, and they can't.
I think it's totally different when Luck comes back because people are going to say, show me your arm. Go ahead. We're going to drop eight. Yeah. Let's see how accurate you are. Mm-hmm. Let's see how much rust is on there.
That's
because you know what? We'll stop Gore. He's getting 2 yards a carry.
Right.
We'll stop.
We're not worried about that.
Turbin will fall down after. He usually gets 3 yards, but he falls down after 3 yards.
At least it's three.
At the goal line, there's no Mac, as you mentioned. That's going to be very interesting because Deshaun Bond is doing a nice job.
Right.
For Deshaun Bond.
We might get Ryan Kelly back this week.
Can Bond play guard? No, can't.
Yeah, well,
that's the problem. That's been the scuttlebutt. It's not. Vuji's done a nice job for Vuji.
Right.
Anthony Costanzo holds every other play.
Yeah.
Anthony Costanzo, second play of the second half, 28-7 false start.
Yeah,
that's your guy.
Yeah,
that's a guy that's getting all the money,
mm-hmm.
and that's supposed to be the leader, and he's not leading. So the Colts have issues, and the good news is for Brissett, they got 28 points.
Right.
The bad news is they got three in the second half when they could have killed the game off.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some kind of level. Because, again, that was still Cleveland that came out for the second half.
That's right.
That was not the 77 Raiders that came out in the second half. So
you could have put more points up, no question.
Well, you could have killed the game off.
Yeah.
And when we get back, we'll talk about the Colts' defense. The next person that ever uses the phrase, with a lead like this, you can pin your ears back and go after the quarterback. DeShone Kizer's played 200 snaps in the NFL, and he almost, if he had another minute, I don't know what would happen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to see it.
Yeah.
But when you have 9 minutes to go in the game and you're up 17 points and you are sweating it on the final play of the game, don't tell me about anybody's ears pinned back and we're dogs we get after it.
I don't know who's going to tell you they're any good.
I'm not going to hear it. Yeah. I'm not listening to it at all because you know what? It ain't true.
No.
They had a 10-point lead against the Cardinals in the fourth quarter last week and blew it.
That's right.
And they had a 17-point lead here and won by three.
And neither one of those two did they score any points in the second half.
Both problems.
Yeah, I mean,
both
problems. Either way.
But DeShone Kizer is not Carson Palmer.
No, he's
Let's not get that confused
no,
either.
Not. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Programming notes for you. Again, we're with you till 7:45. We'll kick it over to pregame for Monday Night Football. Tonight's game is Dallas at Arizona. The next two nights, Tuesday and Wednesday, 7:40 each night will be first pitch for the Reds at Milwaukee. Thursday night, NFL football is back with the Bears at the Packers starting at 8 p.m. here on WGCL. And then Friday night, we are back to high school football with the South Panthers bringing Terre Haute North to town. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and kickoff is 7:30 on Friday night. We'll have college football on Saturday. Ole Miss is at Alabama. 8:30 p.m. is the pregame. That's a late kick in Alabama. And a triple header on Sunday. Titans at Texans kicks it all off with 12:30 pregame. Eagles and Chargers follows that. And we'll have the Colts at Seattle with the Bob Lamy Colts Network broadcast for the evening game for you Sunday night. Colts victorious 31-28. You win, it counts. That's a good thing. Hardly beautiful, but let's be clear. Most of this Colts team right now isn't real beautiful. And they talked about in the preseason, you know, maybe needing some patience and things, which you don't often hear from folks in front offices and ownership in the NFL. But if you don't get that right now with this team, you're seeing it every week. It's not very good. It's still not good up front.
That's
Jim
fine.
Irsay stuck his foot in his mouth when he said anything about the offensive line being fixed. Even Chris Ballard has at least said that the defense is going to take a while, and the defense isn't all that great either.
Maybe Jim Irsay doesn't know football that well.
Well,
he
I've
knows
suggested
football.
That before. But
he knows owning football, so yeah. That is part of it. But what you do know in the NFL is you are not going to find anybody anywhere unless you make some kind of trade that is going to come in and fill any of these positions. That's how it works. Players are commodities, and they're valuable commodities at the positions you're talking about. Offensive linemen there aren't three offensive linemen sitting at home right now wondering why they haven't been called yet. Every single guy who has any chance or has been in the NFL for 15 minutes has gotten a look or is getting a look because every single team needs offensive linemen.
Yeah.
There is a shortage. There is a shortage to play at that level and play at that level all the time. So what do you hope for from the Colts moving forward? It's simple. You hope that the high draft picks continue not to be injured, unlike Mr. Wilson, who is injured.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Kelly, who has been injured.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Hooker looks to be a nice little find. Would I like to see better? He's played three games.
Yeah.
He's going to get better.
Well,
I can't wait around for John Bostic to get better.
We haven't seen brilliance out of Hooker yet.
No,
but
we haven't.
We've at least seen him.
How bad are the Colts in the sense where Antonio Morrison didn't play last week and starts this week?
Yeah.
And that Colts defense last week only gave up 16 points. They put him right back in the starting lineup. So if you want to know what some of the issues are, some of the problems, they bring Pierre Desir off where?
Yeah.
Where did he come from?
He was in Seattle recently,
perhaps, on the practice squad.
Yeah, and drafted by the Browns 3 years ago.
There you go. He came in, made a couple nice plays. I'll give him some credit.
Yeah.
He didn't see him get torched all over the building. Fine. But the point is there's no Vontae Davis.
Mm-hmm.
That will get the Colts better getting Vontae Davis back. The Colts
Wilson, second-round draft pick, didn't play.
That's for Mr. Wilson, will not play. He didn't play. Harrison, the kid from Temple, sixth-round pick, made a couple good plays on third down.
Yeah.
Nice.
Melvin's developed into a nice player.
Two picks. Awesome. The point is Ryan Kelly will make the offensive line better. That is one thing that will help where maybe not you're going to bring in guys off the practice squad or off the street or whatever it is. Kenny Moore, number 42, can't give you a 15-yard penalty every other time he's on the field.
Correct.
The Colts don't have margin.
They can, but we prefer not.
Well, he has been.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of spice with Quan Bray. Gives you a little wiggle on the punt. There are some things that can happen and develop, but it's a quarterback's game, and they say it week after week. Look at the Vikings. Sam Bradford's hurt, right?
Yep.
They throw in Case Keenum. He's been in the league for how many years?
Yeah.
Six or seven. He throws for 369 and three touchdowns and no picks.
Right.
Well, why did they win? It's not hard to figure out.
Yeah.
Because a guy not only managed the game, but put fear in the heart and led them to 34 points to beat a good Tampa Bay team.
That's their third quarterback. Our third quarterback, again, we are talking about, and again,
just Jacoby Brissett.
Brissett, I mean, he's a nice,
a little bit better,
nice player, big, strong guy. Doesn't seem to be putting you in
horrible
positions regularly. But he's not. I mean, unfortunately, he's not producing like Case.
Because their number one pick, Dalvin Cook, ran for 98 yards.
Man, it helps.
Oh boy, that balance does help.
Yeah.
Vikings defense has always been pretty solid under under Mike Zimmer for the last couple of years. So you can compare and contrast all this. The NFL is upside down and backwards. Yesterday, 10 underdogs. Nine of them won the game. Nine of them.
Yeah.
So when you say,
even though one of them's a Colts and they shouldn't be an underdog home to the Browns,
when you
but
say
somebody made them that.
You're 1-2 and you stink, the NFL has a lot of that on a week-to-week basis.
Right.
You can only lose one game on Sunday, and you can only win one game on Sunday. The Colts are not 0-3 like the New York Giants. Those are facts.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Colts division, how about Jacksonville and Blake Bortles going rolling out to 44 points in London?
Just crushing them.
Just, where did this Bortles come from?
Yeah, there was
but you know
what? They were concerned he wouldn't start this year.
Or play.
Yeah.
Let alone do that. But the point is, guys can get better. And a league where you play for pay is a lot different than where you're hanging on to a scholarship. There is a difference to that. And I think sometimes people get those lines blurred a little bit. These guys, life depends on it. If you don't play in Tom Allen's defense, you're going to get a degree and you're going to go on to just fine things in your life.
Yeah, you should.
But when you stop making NFL money, Dave, that's there is no plan B on some of that. So guys playing for their jobs. What did Chris Ballard do with this defense? He bought in a bunch of guys on one-year deals.
Yeah.
Hey, go get it.
Yeah.
It's out there. John Simon's been great.
No, John Simon's
been he's been a
and,
really
and
solid one.
And Sheard's in some spots.
He is. Even the big dude from Cincinnati. The big
Hunt, yeah.
He's causing problems.
Yeah.
So there are these little sparks of interest.
Right.
We're not going to label this great, good, or anything like that. But when you have some young kids that if they can play above their station for times and just do their job on the other times, it's not the end of the world because other teams, just like the Colts, are going to have problems.
Right.
The kid, Deshaun Watson, down in Houston, if he doesn't get it going, it's Tom Savage.
Yeah, right.
You know, you shouldn't be sitting back and you say, but they went to New England. You know what they did in New England? Just like everybody else does in New England.
Yeah.
They lost.
They lost.
I don't care how. I don't care why.
Look, this,
they lost.
Chris Ballard was at least partially in charge here of redoing this defense completely.
His words, not ours.
And they took 6 of 8 draft picks to do so. And by the way, you know, if they were all healthy, they'd all be playing.
Harrison is playing.
Harrison
is
playing.
Playing.
Hooker's playing. Wilson's playing when he's healthy.
Yep.
You know, so the those guys are out there.
Basham plays special teams.
Well, no, he goes out there and he plays in rushdowns early. I made this point on Twitter. Of 13 guys on the active roster that I counted at the defensive line and linebacker position going into the beginning of this game, 12 of them played on defense in the first half of the football game. They're rotating a lot of guys in at those spots in some different looks. So, they involve all these guys. The Hunt kid, I mean, he doesn't play the first 10, five series.
Good. And
then all of a sudden he comes in for three straight. Big, huge guy. They put him on special teams, and he's got a history of blocking field goals. You know, but he makes big, makes some plays when he's in there.
Doesn't that sound hopeful? Doesn't that sound like there's hope?
It's at least young bodies, and, you know, a couple of them were brought in, like Al Woods and Jonathan Hankins, that aren't quite as young, but, you know, still guys that can fit.
Hankins is only 26, 27.
Still guys that can fit in a little bit. It's not very good still. That's half your problem. You've got to grow into rookies on the defensive side of the ball, and you've got to be healthy about it. I'm not certain Malik Hooker is still completely healthy.
The best
Quincy
part
Wilson
about
has
the
been
Colts.
Banged up. The best draft pick, honestly, from a consistency standpoint, there has been Nate Hairston in the backfield.
Who's played the most, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's played a lot. And kind of luckily,
Nickel.
Rashawn Melvin last year came in and has really developed very quickly. He's a big physical guy.
Yeah, he's free right now.
Yeah.
Free
so,
money.
You know, that's a kind of, I won't call it entirely lucky, but, you know, that worked out well for
him
last year.
How many snaps did T.J. Green play yesterday?
Not many.
See?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a miss.
That's a
no
problem.
No question.
Because
Clayton Gathers isn't out because he's on the pup.
That's injury, get a break, talent level.
Those are what? Second and third round draft picks, I believe.
Green was second. Gathers was no
third or fourth.
Fourth, I think. But the point is, I give a guy a break on injury because he's got a neck problem.
Right. Right.
But a guy that can't
but
make
they're
the
not
team,
helping you.
They're not helping you. The guy that can't make the team is not helping you. The guy that can't get on the field because they have to bring in a guy off the street.
That's right.
Because they can't do it. Hooker's, he can't play safety because they got other guys that can play safety. Butler and Hooker. Okay. I get it.
Farley's a kid off the
Farley's
street.
Farley's been
playing.
Fine.
Yeah.
He's an all or nothing kind of player. He seems to be in the right spot. spot out of the completely wrong spot.
Beat out TJ Green at safety.
You're making my point for me.
I know.
Making my point for me. But that's where the Colts have. The Colts can develop if they have guys, again, play above their station, because nobody they brought in besides Hankins and maybe Al Woods that play the same position, nobody is expected to do that kind of business besides Vontae Davis and maybe Butler.
Yeah.
I'll throw Butler in there.
Butler's a nobody, and he's played very well for the Colts.
He's been very good utility guy for the Colts.
Yeah, exactly.
And you need some guys like that, but there is no budding star on that defense where you're going to build around. Vontae Davis is going to be in year 10, I believe, next year.
I think
and
that
cornerbacks
sounds
about right. Don't last a whole lot longer unless they're named Champ Bailey.
Yeah,
in that spot. So you're going to get
a physical corner like him too.
If he's in great shape, which he is, it sounds like he's hurt. It doesn't look bright for the future. So as a Colts fan, I think you sit here and you hold your breath and you say, okay, we have the cards. The cards have been dealt. Now can we make a straight? Do we discard this one? Pick this one up, because you're not going to have any large. The NFL doesn't trade in midseason.
No.
They have a trading deadline. Nobody even knows they have one because nobody uses it.
Right.
Your pieces of the puzzle are here. Now it's on who? Now it's on defensive coach Chuck Pagano. Defensive mind to fix these guys. Ted Monachino.
Yep.
It's on the secondary's coach. It's on the line. It's on these guys to get these people to perform.
They're still not getting much of a pass rush. When they blitz, it works
Simon's
okay.
Simon's been good. Sheard's been decent.
Simon gives you hustle. Sheard's in the right
sacks,
spot a few times.
Two sacks
there is nobody up front that shows you any kind of scary pass rush ability.
There's not.
Now, you're right. John Simon busts his butt and on a couple stunts or end loop arounds, you know, he's made some pressure when they've
ran down Kaiser
when
for
they,
a nice sack,
when they
right.
caught an offensive lineman caught him in a stunt or something, but none of those guys are pass rush. These are not Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis.
No, they're
These
not.
Are not individually skilled but guys that scare the hell out
again,
of you.
Again, you're
there
making...
There are teams in the NFL that throw four pass rushers out on pass downs and absolutely destroy your offensive line. We've got none of those guys.
You're making my point for me, because the Colts, that's what they have. So they have to make the opportunistic plays. They have to get every fumble. They have to grab every interception. They can't be knocking down passes or having interceptions go through their hands like we saw against the Cardinals. Wilson had one. It went right through his – I mean, and they showed the replay 17 times.
Got to make
how
play.
It didn't touch his fingers was absolutely amazing how it went through there. And then Farley had one. It wasn't the greatest angle. But when you're the Colts and you don't have any of those difference makers, all-pro type guys – you hope guys that are there can make plays.
Slim margin.
If not, you do what the Colts did yesterday. You run out to a 28-7 lead, and you put the padlock on the back door and hope nobody sneaks in at the last minute. That's what you have to do, because the offense will make the defense a little bit better. Okay, maybe. I didn't see it yesterday. The defense did make some plays in the red zone that were good, but there was nothing that I saw with a 10-point lead against the Cardinals, that made me think, hey, when Andrew Luck had nothing to do with a 10-point lead. Oh, you say, well, he would have killed the game. Oh, how about the defense make a play? Well, you're right, Dave. There aren't guys to make plays. So guess what it falls on? The quarterback's shoulders. That's it.
And there you go. And same story, right?
And we tell you time and time again, it's a quarterback league, and now we've just proved and illustrated the point as to why.
We're used to it.
If you don't have a guy that can get first downs or create first downs, whoever it may be, you want to blame the scheme? Fine. You want to blame the talent? Fine. Fine. You have a quarterback that makes big plays at big times. Like that Rodgers guy did yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Yeah. That Brady guy. Yeah. Wash, rinse, repeat.
You need those guys.
Sure do.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Programming notes one last time. We're with you for just a couple more minutes, and pregame for Monday Night Football takes over at 7:45. Dallas is at Arizona tonight on Monday Night Football. Tuesday and Wednesday night, 7:40 is first pitch for the Reds at Milwaukee. Thursday night, NFL football, Bears at Packers. 8 p.m. is the pregame start there. Friday night, we're back to high school football with Terre Haute North coming to visit the South Panthers. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and kickoff 7:30 for that. Saturday night, Ole Miss is at Alabama. 8:30 is the pregame for that. 9 p.m. is your kick. And a triple header Sunday is Titans at Texans at 12:30. Eagles at Chargers in the middle game, and then the Colts head to Seattle. We'll start that around 7:30 with Bob Lamy, and what looked like a very tough road trip for the Colts. Well, everything's going to be tough for the Colts this year because they're just not very good.
Their home games have been tough.
But Seattle right now is not looking real good either, as you want to talk about offensive lines that are beat up. Well, the 1-2 Seattle Seahawks offensive line stinks also.
Seattle's had to go to Green Bay, where they didn't score any points, and then they had to go to Tennessee, which a lot of people think are going to be bothersome in the AFC this year. So you don't make excuses. You just point out what's happened. The Colts have played the Rams. Yeah, they've scored a lot of points, and they got off to a real confident start against Indianapolis' secondary. And just when you go forward, the one thing you have to remember as a fan, you can't go 1-15 in week one. You can't.
Right.
And after week four, you're probably still not going to be 2-13. There hasn't been – the Colts aren't giving up 38 points a game. That's true. That's a truism. Carson Palmer was held to 16 points and one touchdown.
Not by much, though. Well, 28 and 46.
Well, but the 46, two pick sixes and a safety, that's 30. Yeah. Not good. And then 28. Yeah, so that's been bad. And that's what it is. And until it gets better, the Colts' offense will make their defense better. You saw a little bit of that yesterday.
They have to grow up quickly.
And they do. And Andrew Luck has to heal up quickly.
The best thing of this weekend was no turnovers from Jacoby Brissett, and your two big wide receivers actually made plays, because these guys cannot just disappear from games for you. They have to be big time.
Right, and I agree with that. And the other, I'll add to the extra to that, is the plays they make are made down the field. Hitting Dante Moncrief on 3rd and 6 in the 3-yard crossing route and getting mad at him when he gets tackled, that's not smart football.
Not.
Because, well, that's what, that's all was in his arsenal.
You can give him a chance, but
give him a chance.
Of course, but they have to make plays.
They do.
And last week they did not show up.
And guys aren't going to stink for 16 straight weeks. Guys are going to have a bad game. Jack Doyle's not going to drop two balls.
He doesn't.
Yeah. So he's not going to do it next week either. You hope. And if he does, somebody else has to pick him up. And we know right now the Colts need all the bodies they can get. It'd be nice to have Marlon Mack to try hitting home runs with, but if you don't, well. Then you've got Matt Jones. Where's that Josh Ferguson we spent all the money on?
Yeah, he got released.
Well, that's probably why he didn't play.
Well, that's exactly right. He was injured also, I know that.
Well, he was injured, released. You're exactly right. Now, as we move on with the Colts, big game in Seattle. We'll do more on that Wednesday. We'll do Penn State on Wednesday as well. Biggest shock from the weekend in the Big Ten was what? Rutgers leading Nebraska late in the third quarter there. I mean, that's a team that's been goofy, but that's a team Indiana's not going to play, but they will play Rutgers, so we keep an eye on that. Iowa-Penn State was a beautiful college football game.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was.
You got to like defense.
It was black and blue.
But it was great. It was.
Iowa did nothing in the first half and led at halftime because they made one play.
That's right.
And that's
because their defense is that good, by the way.
It is that
good.
Kept
them in it.
But isn't it funny how if you don't score, those things don't change.
Yeah.
That momentum doesn't shift or move around. But the ending to that game was just absolutely fantastic with the two late. Big 70-yard run. Penn State's really good defense gives up.
Yeah.
And then Iowa's defense lets them – well, not lets them, but they go down the field and score on the final
drive.
Play. It was a great drive.
Maryland has been hot and cold and down two quarterbacks now.
Down two quarterbacks.
And that's interesting because they went down to Texas and hung 51 on the Longhorns.
And that was with the second quarterback.
Well, both of them. Because
the one
guy started
got hurt.
Yeah. So, I mean, then now they're down to Max Bortenschlager, who played against South a couple years ago as a Cathedral guy in the semi-state. So call that kid. But, I mean, that hurts Maryland. So what are they like? Well, I mean, we got to play them here eventually. Michigan State got their doors blown off at home by Notre
Dame.
Michigan
State's
they're different.
They hung their hat on defense. That's what saw them get ranked, and then their defense was eviscerated on their home turf by an offense that doesn't do a lot of complicated stuff. They run the ball.
Yeah.
And they don't chuck it around a whole lot, and they got beat.
Bad.
Interesting. Oklahoma had their hands full at Baylor, a team that started off losing to two bad
Liberty
and somebody else that was bad.
Yeah.
So, again, each week is a different set of circumstances, and you have to be on your toes for all of it. And kids are going to do kid things, man. They're going to do kid things, and that's part of the deal as well. So we'll have plenty of kid stuff to talk about coming up on
Everybody's
Wednesday.
Trying to pump up Purdue. We'll see how that plays out.
Purdue
the course
had
of 12 games.
Purdue had one first down and 8 yards in the second half. I believe that's what it was.
Everybody loves the play calling against Ohio University. So
you guys,
you hang your hat on that for a while. You enjoy that stuff. We'll talk to you later, Bob. We got to head on out of here, folks. Monday Night Football come up in just a couple minutes, and we will join you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.